So the translation purport by Srila Prabhupada, well, this canto 6, chapter 9, the appearance of the demon Vritrasura, text number 37. A rope causes fear for a bewildered person who considers it a snake, but not for a person with proper intelligence who knows it to be only a rope. Similarly, you, as a super soul in everyone's heart, inspire fear or fearlessness according to one's intelligence. But in you there is no duality. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 4:11, the Lord says, Ye tamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of everything, including all knowledge, all truth, and all contradictions. The example cited herein is very appropriate. A rope is one truth, but some mistake it for a snake, whereas others know it to be a rope. Similarly, devotees who know the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not see contradictions in him. But non-devotees regard him as the snake-like source of all fear. For example, when Nrsimhadeva appeared, Prahlad Maharaj saw the Lord as the supreme soulless, whereas his father, a demon, saw him as the ultimate death. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37, Bhayam fear results from being absorbed in duality. When one has the knowledge of duality, one knows both fear and bliss. The same Supreme Lord is the source of bliss to devotees and fear to non-devotees who have a poor fund of knowledge. God is one, but people understand the absolute truth from different angles of vision. The unintelligent see contradictions in him, but sober devotees find no contradictions. How does that verse start where Krishna is the same as heat and light expanding everywhere? And at the end of it says, Brahmasya, and all his energies act as a natural sequence. Yeah, that I know. But the first word. Something Agnir, Joshnad Vimsruti. Joshna is one of the words. Joshna and Vimsruti. Ekadesha Sita Yagya. Joshad Vimsrasi Yata, and then Parasha Brahmani Shakti Tatedam Akilam Jagat. So, the first word is Yata? No. Ekadesha, Ekadesha. So, Ekadesha means to be in one place. Ekadesha Sitara Gya. Just like fire is in one place, but expands its heat and light everywhere. Ekadesha sita yagya. Hitoshna vistrasi yata. Parasya brahmana shaktis. So the Supreme Lord has multiple energies that he expands. Akilam jagat. Throughout the whole universe. So everything is Brahman. Everything is spiritual. But things appear to us to be material according to our relationship with Krishna. Everything is a relation with Krishna. When we're in the mood of service to Krishna, then everything appears to be spiritual. And when we're in the mood of competition against Krishna or with Krishna, then everything becomes material. The material world exists simply as a conception of the conditioned souls, that somehow or another they can take Krishna's place here. that the material nature is inert, is dead, and it's simply up to us to manipulate and control it in order to enjoy it. So this is better known as illusion. And in that illusion, not only we see Krishna according to our perspective, but we see everything according to that perspective. Therefore, Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita, at least to give us the intelligence how to see things properly. For instance, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Svapake Cha Pandita Samadarshanaha, that those who are actually pundits, the learned sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahmin, the cow, the dog, the elephant, and the dog eater. They see it equally because they see that in everyone's heart there's a soul being directed by the super soul. And that some living entities in this world have superior bodies and others have inferior bodies. But that doesn't really change the passenger in the body, namely the soul. The soul remains the same, only sometimes he, quote, enjoys Purusha Prakriti Sohi Bhunkte Prakriti Janganan Karna Guna Sangosya Sat Asat Yoni Janmasu. So there's asad, which seem to be good bodies, and asad, bad bodies. Just like if you're born in Slovenia, relatively speaking, it may be considered you have a good body. And if you're born in Syria, it's asad, bad body. Why? Because sad means permanent. So we have all the means to survive here for our whole 100 years. And asad means it's very difficult to survive. Hard struggle for existence. But, after all, it's all being controlled by the modes of nature. And therefore, no one is really doing anything here of any significance. Simply we're dreaming, and we imagine our dreams to have some importance. And of course, amongst the fools that inhabit the universe, sometimes people actually think our dreamlike state has some importance. But then again, there have been so many Brahmas and Indras and Shivas, they've arisen in the cosmic creation, and they've disappeared. Similarly, all our importance will also disappear along with this body. Now, Krishna is equal to everyone. He's allowing everyone to dream along in the material world, in the various dreams that they have. Or one can actually utilize this opportunity of the human form of life and wake up. It simply depends upon our willingness either to reestablish our relation with Krishna or to go on imagining ourselves whatever we wanted to be in this material world and read about all the other people with big imaginations or big false egos, however you want to take it. But ultimately, Krishna is kind to everyone. He doesn't interfere with the free will of ourselves. Simply, he wants us to take advantage by hearing from the proper sources with the proper attitude. Because it's not only hearing from the proper sources, but it's hearing with the proper attitude. If we're trying to become Krishna's servants, we're trying to develop the consciousness or the attitude of a servant of Krishna, then it's possible to actually hear properly. And if we're just hearing for the sake of hearing, there's so many varieties of hearing, if we're just hearing for the sake of hearing, or we dare someone to say something unique, or maybe we're waiting for a punchline like a joke or something, if we have some other idea that why we're here, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. But if we're actually trying to get out of the Bali concept of life, we're trying to realize we're eternal, which would be quite a happy thing to realize. Prabhupada gives the example, if one is in prison for a long, long time, and suddenly they let you out of prison, how happy you feel, prasanatma. How joyful. So we're in prison, and if we make progress out of our prison-like existence, then we'll feel gradually joyful. We have to learn how to feel happy. Anyone in the material concept of life, how can they feel happy? What is the reason why anyone should feel happy here? In the midst of threefold miseries and fourfold miseries and Kali Yuga, only a crazy person is going to actually feel happy here. On the other hand, we should be happy because that's our nature. We're supposed to be prasanatma, joyful. But we have to give up shoshati and kangshati, hankering and lamentation. Now, if we want to identify ourselves with this body, we want to act in the material concept of life, then that itself is hankering and lamenting. There must be some hankering and lamenting. Anyone who chooses asmita or the false ego and wants to act according to raga and dvesha, according to attachment and aversion, must also accept abhinivesita, that is, anxiety and fear over our impending demise. And the root cause, of course, is avidya. So if we accept ourselves as dasa, dasa, anudasa, and have faith that Krishna is a good person, that if we follow his instructions, we'll actually be benefited. So therefore, it's advised that we hear from the right sources about how nice Krishna is. Otherwise, there's a class of philosophers, they always say, if Krishna is good, then why do these innocent little children die so young? What did they do? Well, actually, we find that if you actually find out what they did, you wonder why they lived so long. That nothing unjust is going on, and everyone's getting exactly what they deserve, and whatever they deserve, Krishna has arranged in such a way, it's actually beneficial for everyone. If someone is a criminal and they perform criminal activities and they're rewarded for it, people will think, well, this is not very good justice. But if a criminal gets punished, and the punishment is such a way as to help rectify the person, then one will think that this punishment is very good. So Krishna has arranged the material world in such a way is that at every moment, everything is perfectly arranged. Sometimes, perhaps when we're preaching and we're the proper mood of dependency upon Krishna, and Krishna sends someone to take a book, or things seem to be exactly arranged so that we can perceive that actually Krishna is arranging everything at every moment. Nothing is going on by accidentally. Then we feel secure that Krishna is actually there to protect us, and that Krishna is Krishna is never inattentive to anyone. At every moment, he's making arrangements to try to help every living entity throughout all the universes make progress towards going back to the spiritual world. If one sees like that, then the whole world becomes joyful. Kaivalya narakayate, tridashapura kashapushpayate, dordentendriya kalasarpa patali, dhamstra prokatayate.
Vidi
is Brahma. Vidi Mahendra, so Vidi is Brahma and Mahendra is Lord Shiva. Kitayate, they're just seen like just insignificant insects. Kitayate means insect. Vidhi Mahendra Taskitaya. And then Sukha, Sukhayate, Vidya, whether the whole world seems happy. Yakaruna Kataksha Vaibhava Stu Goram Evastaha. That if one gets a sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then one can experience all these things. The whole world becomes joyful. It seems like it's perfectly arranged by Krishna, and that one can be an instrument in the internal energy of Krishna and do good to others and good to for oneself simply by becoming Krishna's instrument. That we don't have to rearrange the whole material universe. It's already perfectly arranged. Otherwise, for one who thinks that there is no Krishna, then the first symptom is that one feels he has to arrange everything. Without arranging everything, the universe will be a failure. That unless I put my nose into everything, somehow or another it won't work properly. So this means that we're not aware of the fact that there is a Krishna who's already arranging everything and that he doesn't need any of us to do it. Just like when Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill with his left pinky for 7 days, then no one would believe that Krishna is a little boy. I think he was only 7 years, 8 years old at the time. That Mother Jasoda couldn't believe that he could hold up such a big hill. He's such a little boy. So all the coward men, they took their sticks and they held up the hill. So Mother Jasoda, according to the Krishna, and according to Nectar Devotion, so it actually Krishna is not holding up the hill. It's Nanda Maharaj who's holding up the hill with his stick. So that's under Yogamaya. One thinks like that. But we're under Mahamaya, perhaps, and we're thinking the whole world depends on us. There are so many people who come, and they actually believe that they're going to actually save their nation. Hitler thought like that. Stalin thought like that. Roosevelt thought like that. Churchill thought like that. But they came and they left, and things are still going on. The whole thing didn't fall apart when they left. Of course, it's falling apart. It was falling apart when they were here, and they were helping it fall apart. But that's another story. Similarly, we're simply here as an opportunity to make some spiritual progress. And if we make spiritual progress, then our life is successful. As far as criticizing Krishna, looking around, seeing what the faults are, that's not very helpful for us. We can see faults, if that's what we like, but then we should see faults in such a way as to assist Krishna in his mission to help people overcome their faults. Not like the Brahmin and the prostitute. There was a Brahmin who was very pious, and he lived across the street from a prostitute. And every time the prostitute would bring a customer, the Brahmin would become very disturbed. He has such a horrible neighbor doing so many horrible things. And so he'd put a mark on his door. And after some time, his door was full of marks, and he was always cursing the prostitute that why is she bringing all these customers here and spoiling the neighborhood. And the prostitute, by somehow or another, by her karma, was forced into that occupation. But she was always looking across the street at this pious Brahmin and thinking that if only I could be a pious Brahmin, that I'm such a wretched person. So at the end of life, the Brahmin was meditating all the time on the prostitute, so he left his body and went to hell. And the prostitute was always meditating on the pious Brahmin, thinking how wonderful he was. She left her body and went to Vaikuntha. So we're looking around trying to change everyone to our liking. Then we'll be just wasting our time because we only have one business here. That is to change ourselves. And if we change ourselves, change our perspective, and try to appreciate how Krishna is working in this world, then we can give up this hankering and this lamentation, which is the root cause of our suffering. We're hankering for a better world in which I can decide how everything is arranged, and we're lamenting because although we've tried so hard since time immemorial, no one seems to listen to us. No one seems to change everything according to our likings forever. But even the super soul doesn't even try that. He lets things go on as they are, according to the desires and the deserts of the living entities. And if we appreciate that, and don't blame Krishna, that why do bad things happen to good people? This is unfair. Krishna must be asleep at the wheel. If he was actually a good God, all good people would have good things happen to them, and bad people would have bad things happen to them. But it appears that good people are suffering and bad people are enjoying. But it's only part of the story. We don't know the whole story. And therefore, we don't know how is it that Putana went back to Godhead. Are they trying to poison Krishna? And we ourselves are working for so many years trying to chant Hare Krishna, we can't do it. Maybe I should become a witch. Enter into Krishna's pastimes and try and kill him. It's an easy way back to Godhead. No, but we only know half the story. We don't know in a previous lifetime. Putana was the son, was the daughter of Bali Maharaj. Or sometimes it said their sister, perhaps in different incarnate, different yugas. In any case, when Vamanadeva walked into the arena where Bali Maharaj was executing sacrifices, then Bali Maharaj's sister fell in love with Vamanadeva and wanted to have him as her child because Vamanadeva was only 5 years old. So she fell in love with him in the parental mood. But then when Vamanadeva took everything away from Bali Maharaj, she became very disturbed and envious against Vamanadeva and wanted to kill him. So these intense emotions, Krishna's noting, and he decided that he'd come back in such a way as to allow this lady to both become his mother and to try and kill him. So she came back as Putana, and he advented himself as Krishna, and the rest is history. But after Putana tried to kill Krishna, then her feelings as a mother towards Krishna that she had manifested in her previous life manifested themselves fully, and she went back to the spiritual world as one of Krishna's mothers. So it wasn't by accident. Everything is going on as a natural sequence. Parashya Shaktir Vividayo Shuyate Sabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. And that we have to have faith in, then our minds will become peaceful. Then we can see every opportunity as an opportunity to serve Krishna, to try to do something to please him. Not that in the past my life was a failure, according to someone's estimation. Or my life is successful. I have so many things now I can enjoy, according to some people's estimation. But actually, at every moment, simply we have an opportunity to find out what Krishna wants us to do with the energies that within our influence and do those things to please Krishna. That's the only value of life. And if we become distracted by so-called people's estimation of success and failure, then we'll simply wind up in transmigrating from one body to another, seeking so-called success in the material world, and just ignoring actually what is success, which is to become a pure servant of Krishna, to try to please him. So, I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Frequently we are asked the question, if Krishna sends us karma for to restore justice for something we did in the past, why doesn't he make it more clear what we are punished for? Wouldn't that be a better lesson if we clearly knew that I'm getting this for this particular mistake? How do you answer this?
We're not so intelligent. Sometimes people can know that, but you have to be intelligent. And to be intelligent, you have to deserve the intelligence. And if you don't deserve the intelligence, it's because you've done so many complicated things. Just like pollen. There are so many flowers with so many different kinds of pollen. And the bees go out and collect the pollen, they bring it back to the beehive, the varieties of pollen, and from there they make the honey. And so when we taste honey, it's due to a variety of pollens. Now to understand every single bit of pollen that went into the taste of the honey would be very difficult to know. Similarly, to understand the varieties of activities that go into the reactions that we get from one experience, it's extremely complicated and difficult to know. You'd have to have intelligence like that of Brahma. But we don't deserve that intelligence because of all those activities we've done to deserve the reaction. Therefore, the best we can do is understand tat te nukam pam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam, that it's not going on by accident. I'm suffering because of my past activities. And simply to think I'm suffering, is not very helpful either. With our body, mind, and words, we should go on in Krishna consciousness, praying to Krishna. And Divete San Bhukti Sadaya Bhak. Then we can actually make progress in spiritual life. It's not so helpful to understand exactly what we did wrong. And then we correct that, but our whole life is wrong here. That's what we should understand. Our very existence in the material world is wrong. So we should engage ourselves in spiritual existence and everything will be right. The example is given, just like if you're suffering because the tiger is biting you, so you can kick the tiger, you can beat the tiger, you can shoot the tiger, but it's easier to just wake up, then there's no more tiger. Why going through a whole training of anti-tiger strategies? Just wake up. There's no more tiger. Anything else? Someone raised their hand there? Okay. Thank you very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.